we've been doing is we started going through John 1 and we found out a couple things. We found out from in the very first verse that we found out that Jesus Christ is the Word and he was there from the beginning. And we find out that he was our creator in verse 1, and we go down to verse 4 and 5 and we find out that he's this light that's come into this dark world. And we find out that this man by the name of John the Baptist has come, and he says, I'm not that light. I'm not that light. And if you notice in your Bible, the Bible has a capital L next to witness of the light in verse 7. That's the name of Jesus. He's light. That's one of his names. He's light because that's who he is. Praise God. And he's come into this world to bear this light. In verse 8, we went through that, and it says he was not that light, talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist wasn't Jesus Christ, but he came to bear witness of this light. And we find out in verse 9 that there's this, Jesus Christ is the true light. He's the true light that lights the way, and that every man on this earth that's born, even if they don't know the Lord, every man has been given a measure of light, a measure of faith, so that they can believe on Jesus Christ. So that means that everybody that's born, no matter if it's in a remote, faraway place or right here in Lancaster, New York, was born with a measure of faith so that they can call upon the name of the Lord. But see, God seeks people out, but the heart's got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't do this anymore. I'm a sinner. I admit, I confess my sins to you. I'm a sinner. I'm not saved. I don't want to go to hell. I can't do this anymore. I'm trusting in you as my Lord and Savior. And it's by grace. It's by his grace. And it's through faith. Lord, I can't do anything to measure up to you. I need to repent. I need to turn towards you. I need to go get away from this world. Now I got to go towards you. Repentance towards God. And that's the biblical scriptural way of salvation and nothing else. 1 Corinthians, on your own time, chapter 15, verses 1 to 4, talks about Christ died according to the scriptures, the biblical way of salvation. And we go through, and I'm just doing a recap. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Verse 10, the world knew him not. Jesus Christ is our creator. He came into the world of his own flesh and the flesh, and the world knew him not. They didn't know who he was. He comes, he's just a man, but he's also the Son of God. Verse 12, but as many received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. See, he gives us the power to become sons of God. How does that happen? We talked through that in earlier sessions. To become a son of God, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. That means you need to have a new birth. What is that new birth? We'll go and we'll find out in John chapter 3. Jesus talks to Nicodemus and he says, how can I be born twice out of my mother's womb? And he's not talking about that. He's talking spiritually, your spirit to be regenerated, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, his name, the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, a new birth. You become a child of God by the trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We all have the power to become the sons of God, but it's by believing on, read it, even to them, verse 12, that believe on his name. See, nothing else. Believe on his name. Lord, I believe that you are the Savior. I believe that you died for my sins. You are the Son of God and that you rose 3 days later. The Word, verse 14, the Word was made flesh. We talked about this. Jesus Christ, before he was Jesus, he was the Word. He was the Word. That's what his name was. He was God the Son. And that, in that Trinity, in that Godhead, he came down and dwelt among, he was made flesh. He dwelt among men. And we find out later on that he came, he grew up, and after his earthly ministry, he was crucified on a cross. And we go down and it starts saying he was full of grace and truth in verse 14. He was full of grace and truth. John was bearing witness of him and he was crying. We find out that John the Baptist is coming on the scene and he's starting to baptize people with water. And he's making manifest. He's displaying, he's showing the Israel, he's showing those people in Israel right now. He's saying, prepare your hearts for who? The coming Messiah. who in the Old Testament, from Genesis through Malachi, has been talking about this coming Messiah that's coming. He's coming. And in Isaiah 40, we looked at Isaiah 40, verse 3, we have the forerunner, the voice crying in the wilderness. John chapter 1, we start seeing, who's the voice? It's John the Baptist. He's declaring, he's the voice crying in the wilderness. He's saying, here's the Messiah. He's coming. I'm preparing the way. He's preparing the way. He's the forerunner. And then these guys, and if we're going down in the middle from 19 to 23, they're inquiring out of them. These Pharisees show up. These people of this religious order start showing up and questioning John the Baptist. For those who don't know, John the Baptist is what your modern day fire and brimstone street preacher. Okay, he's preaching to the lost here. Okay, and he's coming, and they're inquiring of him. So these very well educated men start looking at this man who's you know, he's, if you looked at him, you'd be like, oh wow, he's definitely in the wilderness. But they're looking at him, and it's almost a condescending manner. Who is this guy that's talking about it? And John replies in verse 23, he says, I am. He replies with scripture, with God's words in the Old Testament. I am the voice crying. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, making straight way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah, which was Isaiah. He's telling them, and we find this out, and we're going along, and they think that he's an Old Testament prophet by the name of Elijah. And we finally get, last time we were here, we got to verse 29, and it talks about the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God. And we spent a whole teaching session on the Lamb of God. Who's this Lamb of God? The Lamb of God is Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, we go through from Genesis, we looked from Genesis to Malachi. All through there, this Lamb of God, it pointed to. It was a shadow. You see, it was a shadow of good things to come. In order for something to have a shadow, that thing needs to be there to cast the shadow. Jesus Christ he's throughout this whole book, all 66 books of them, but it was casting the shadow, showing who this Lamb of God is. We looked at the priestly sacrifices. We looked at all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve tried to sow fig leaves upon themselves, they tried to save themselves through their own way. And we found out that in the Garden of Eden, God said, no, that's not the right way. Because you sinned, now I have to cover you with a coat of skins, God's proper way. And we find out that man has ever since has been trying to gain righteousness through their own merit, through religion, trying to establish their own righteousness, Romans chapter 10. Men have been trying to do that, justify themselves. I'm a good person. I've done this. I've done that. But Jesus says, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what happens is God has showed us through the Old Testament, John the Baptist is in the New Testament saying, behold the Lamb of God. This is the only way to salvation. This perfect Lamb sacrifice, who is Jesus Christ. Believing on him, that's the only way. And we come to find out now, John 14, 6 says, I am the way. Jesus saying, I am the way, not a way, the way, the truth, the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by who? Me. He says, by me. That means we go to Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ is salvation. Only through the Lamb of God in verse 29 of John chapter 1. And the world knew him not, and it talks about this. And finally, we get to today where John is baptizing people with water. And we're starting in verse 32. And like I said, I would love to just talk with people if you're new and you're just trying to recap. And we have audio recordings, and if you need those, that would be great. And you could always catch up, and we just go through the Bible. And so we'll go. Verse 32, it says, we get to this point where John's baptizing, and Jesus comes onto the scene. In verse 32, it says, we'll start in verse 31 to 31 for context. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. This is John the Baptist. In verse 32, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. One thing we found out in the book of John, the book of John's goal, the theme of the book of John is to show it's a gospel tract. Number one, it's one of the greatest gospel tracts besides Romans. It shows you how to get saved. And number two, it shows the deity of Jesus Christ and that he is the Son of God. In verse 32, it says, and John bear record, let's go back to 32. And John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. It's not a dove, like a dove, and it abode upon him. I want you to turn to two places here and keep your, if you have a bookmark or that little tassel thing in your Bible, keep it in John 1. I want you to turn to two places here. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 3 and Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42 and Matthew 3. And we're going to go to Isaiah 42 first. We're going to use scripture here to cross-reference here as we do, using the Old Testament, the New Testament, all of it, all of it. So Isaiah chapter 42. John bear record saying, in John 1:32, he says, John bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. Isaiah 42:1, it says, behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Now I'm going to remind you, the context here is Jesus Christ, Christ the servant. In whom I uphold mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my Spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now it's interesting. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. We're looking at the baptism account of Jesus. Now, Jesus is getting baptized, but there's an important thing about baptism here. Jesus is getting baptized by John the Baptist. Now, let's keep that in mind. But why is he getting baptized? Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, when you get there. Verse 10, it says, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. This is John the Baptist speaking here. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering, saying, unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened up unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So right here we have four gospels, right? I don't want to say four gospels. There's only one gospel of Jesus Christ, but they're accounts: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when you read those four, we started with this study way back when. We looked at these gospels and they said, wow, okay, here's a view of Jesus as king. Here's a view in Mark as Jesus as a servant. And in Luke, we saw Jesus as a man. He's the Son of Man. And in John, he's the Son of God. But in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, we see this baptism account all compared in a different view, in a different light. We look at here, Jesus is getting baptized, and he comes, and John the Baptist says, why do you want me to baptize you? I'm not worthy to even loose your latch of your shoes. I'm not worthy of you to do it. And he says, you need to do it, because I need to reveal something to you. I need to show you. And when he's saying showing you, he's showing everybody. He's showing something. And the key point here is this, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, what happened? Went up straight away out of the water, and something happened when Jesus gets baptized. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus Christ is getting baptized. These Jews that are coming on the scene are getting baptized to make manifest, to show the coming Messiah, and preparing them way to repent and prepare their hearts for the coming Messiah. Baptism does not give one salvation. That is an important point. But why is that? Why do I say that? Did Jesus Christ got baptized? Did he need to be saved? Wasn't he the sinless Son of God? So he didn't need to get saved. He didn't need his sins cleansing. He's the cleanser. So this baptism is something else. This baptism is twofold, to make manifest to Israel and the people there, to show the coming Messiah is coming. He's coming. But also, you start seeing in verse 16 and 17, what happens? The Spirit descending like a dove, coming upon him, showing him, revealing, making, the word is manifest, displaying, making manifest. Who is he? And then a voice from heaven says, this is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In here, Mark 1:9 says, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Mark 1:10 says, and straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open. And again, we see it, the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. John 5:7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. What are you seeing here? In order to believe, in order to have salvation, you need to believe in the virgin birth. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior to cleanse you from your sin, to pay for your sin. And you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What's happening here? He's getting baptized to show everybody, to show you 2,000 years later, I am the Son of God. How are you the Son of God? Because the voice of God the Father himself says, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Spirit comes down like a dove, and you see the Holy Ghost, God in three persons, right? Blessed Trinity. See, holiness is being displayed upon people. On the people. He's showing them this baptism. John, I suffer you. John, I need you to baptize me. Jesus is saying, you need to baptize me. Because guess what? You're fulfilling scripture. You need to do this to what? To show me, to show them who I really am. This man comes, imagine this. I am this man in flesh, in blood. He looks just like a man. If you were to watch, it says, the world knew him not. You know what that means? For 30 years, Jesus is walking this earth, and he doesn't have an aura around him. He doesn't have this glow. He doesn't look any different from any other man. But all of a sudden, this man comes humbly, mind you. You understand that? He comes humbly to John the Baptist. He says, John, you need to do this. He goes, he knows he's sinless. He's the Son of God. He's sinless. He's the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And he gets baptized. And he says, you need to do this because I need to show them who I am. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Lamb of God. John 1:29. I am the Lamb of God that taketh away what? The sin of the world. I'm your Savior. I'm your Messiah. And mind you, somebody says that and they come out on the scene and what's happening here? John's bearing witness. He's bearing witness. He needs to do this to show them there's your salvation right there. There's your eternal life is right there. He's preparing the heart, and now and you're seeing it. This book is divinely, this book right here was penned by 40 authors, okay, over a span of 1,000 years. There's 66 canon books in this Bible. You want to know who the author is? It's God. God wrote this book. But what happens is 1 Peter 1:21 says, this book is divinely inspired by the Holy Ghost. It's divinely inspired because it is so key. In these verses here, and you'll see them in your study guides and on there, you are seeing the Trinity, the Godhead revealed of what's happening. Picture this. Picture this. John the Baptist, verse 33. I want you to go to John, go back to John chapter 1, verse 33. Say, how do I know I'm saved? How do I know? Because do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that he was born of a virgin? Do you believe that he died on a cross and rose again on the third day to pay for your sins? He says, Romans 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, right? There's countless scriptures saying confessing, right? Lord, I believe you. I believe that you died on that cross. He saves you right there. He's good like that. He'll save your soul for eternity. Do you believe it? In your heart, in your mind. Now watch. John 1:33. And I knew him not, John the Baptist is speaking, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. You know what's happening right now? picture this. God the Father is talking to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, ready? God the Father is talking to John the Baptist. John the Baptist is what is he doing? He's baptizing the Son of God. And at the same time he's baptizing the Son of God, the Holy Spirit is descending upon him. So you have God the Father talking to him. You have God the Father then declaring that this is my Son, and the Holy Spirit's coming down. And you see the Godhead right there. There are three that bear witness. There are three that bear witness. And it all points to who? Not the Holy Spirit, not God the Father. It points to Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. And then he says, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he. This, now he's talking about Jesus. He goes, the one that's getting baptized right now, the same one that is getting baptized, that's Jesus Christ, is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. You know what that means? It says he's getting baptized to show you guys I'm the Son of God, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. You know what that means? That's salvation. When you get saved, you get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now there's different things about water baptism in the New Testament Bible-believing church. It's a profession of your faith. It doesn't save you because this immersion doesn't save you. What it does is it tells everybody, I'm getting water baptized. I'm telling everybody, I've already been saved. I just want you to know I'm getting saved. You know why? Because I'm going to obey the word. And you know what? Jesus Christ got baptized to show people. I'm going to do that too. But water baptism doesn't save your soul. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ was baptized. But it was to do something more. He was already sinless. He didn't need his sins cleansed. He's showing this book is alive. This book is alive. The Holy Spirit divinely inspired men to write this book so perfectly knit that we can go back into the Old Testament thousands of years ago, and it's preparing. Isaiah 43, there's a voice of one crying in the wilderness. John the Baptist, hundreds of years later, Isaiah was written 700 years before John was written, before Jesus Christ even walked this earth. And he's quoting scripture verbatim. He's quoting God's word verbatim. It's amazing. But now watch. You see a lot of this word in John chapter 1. Bear witness, bear record, right? Bear record, all this. John 1:34, and I saw, John sees, he goes, I can't believe what I'm seeing. And I bear record that this is the Son of God. He's bearing record. But John's confessing Christ. He's bearing witness. God is using John the Baptist. God the Father comes down. He's revealing to everybody, you're bearing witness to the Son of God. Now look at look what's happening here. In verse 32, go up one to verse 32. It says here in verse 32, it says, "And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." Okay. This is what we would call divine witness. This is a divine witness. How do we know 2,000 years later that this all happened? How do we know that? See, people will try to disprove this and say, try to shake your faith and doubt you. You know why? Because Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15, it says he died according to the Scriptures. Oh, by the way, there was 500 witnesses. And you know what? After that, then the church grew in Acts, and it grew to 2,000, 3,000, 5,000. The church grew, and to this day, we have a New Testament local assembly believing in something that happened 2,000 years ago. Why? Because when you got saved, the Holy Spirit put the light's in there, right? But something happened. You're born again. Something happened. See, you can't just read this book with natural, carnal eyes. You have to first, I didn't know anything about this Bible. I grew up in this church, not this physical building we were over at Houghton College. I grew up in this church, but I wasn't saved. Being in the church doesn't save you. Having a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, your personal confession, with my lips I had to confess that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and I needed salvation. I didn't want to go to hell. I needed to get right with God. So what he's showing now is he's doing the same thing. He's saying, now I'm bearing witness. We have to go tell people about Jesus Christ. But now what do we need? We need to bear witness. Keep your place in John 1. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Divine witness. How is this true? Because you know what? God is bearing witness of everything that is happening. How do I know this is true? I'm going to tell you something while you're turning there. You know, there's just God gives some little other measures to assure you of your salvation. The church, when you speak the name of Jesus Christ, you can say God. I've been around it. You can say God. You can say, you know, faith. You can say all those buzzwords. But you know what? You know what doesn't either make people rejoice or people cringe is when you say the name Jesus Christ. There's a difference. Because a lot of people believe in God, and a lot of people believe that they have faith. I have faith that this floor is going to hold me up. You have faith that those pews are going to hold you in place, and you're not going to come falling through. But you know what? In order to be saved, in order to see this bare record, you need to have faith in the only way, which is Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 17, verse 4 and 5. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord. Now this is the Mount of Transfiguration. This is the Mount of Transfiguration. This, right now, Jesus Christ, his glory is being manifested, okay? And Peter's there. And if anybody knows anything about the Apostle Peter, he's bold, but sometimes he's just thick-headed, like a lot of us, okay? Peter just, Peter's the type of guy that will go into a building without kind of thinking about it. He'll just kind of run into a burning building and not think about it. He was just bold. He was bold, but sometimes he didn't understand what he was saying, and you're going to see this. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. So what's happening is God is revealing. He sees Moses and Elijah. They're showing, and Peter's looking there. And if you saw that transpire, you'd say, oh my goodness, what am I seeing right now? And Peter's just all caught up in it. He's all caught up, and he goes, look, there's Moses. Moses, the law, oh my goodness, Elijah, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. Look at these men. You got to understand, Peter knows the Scriptures. He's a Jew. He's looking at these men and he's just, let us just build three tabernacles, one for you, Lord, and one for this prophet and that prophet. And you know what God the Father says? He says, while he was speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud. This is God the Father speaking, which said, this is my beloved Son. Guess what he says? In whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So imagine, a cloud's overshadowing, and I see Jesus Christ in his glory, and you're seeing Moses and Elijah, two greatest prophets. They're cutting right. This is a divine encounter, something that has never happened since. I mean, in Scripture, but 2,000 years later, you don't see anything like this. And Peter's so awestruck. What does Peter try to do? In his natural man, you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to do things in his own way. I need to honor them by building tabernacles for each one. You know what God says? He goes, you can't, that's not how you go about. That's not how you go about worshiping me. You know how you go about worshiping me? This is my son, Jesus Christ, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. 2,000 years later, salvation, what is it? I don't go and gain my own salvation. I can't go about salvation. I can't go about walking, once I'm saved, I can't go about walking with the Lord any other way than focusing on Jesus Christ. Because even God the Father says, hear ye him. You see, he's seeing all this, and yet Jesus is standing right next to Peter as a man, and he says, hear ye him. The one that you're standing next to, he's the most important. Not these prophets. Hear ye him. Why show this in the book of John? We need to shift our focus. We need to shift our focus always, always to preach the gospel, salvation, and preach Jesus Christ. Why is that? It's because therein lies all the power, all the answers to all the problems, and salvation. And how do I walk with Jesus after I'm saved? It's through Jesus Christ. How do I do that? Through this book. Remember we talked about counsel earlier? Through this book. Reading it, studying it, praying. Getting a close, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Turn back to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We'll end here in about 7 minutes. John chapter 5. I guess if you were to title this message today, it would be called Bearing Witness. It'd be called Bearing Witness. Why? Because bearing witness, as we're a New Testament Christians in the year 2022, we need to always constantly, if you're saved today, praise God, we need to be constantly reminded of what happened on the cross. Going forward, we need to look forward and grow. Why do we come here? Why do we assemble? Because two things. If we love the Lord, we want to walk in him and grow in him because he's our Savior. And he says in Romans, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Christ died once for our sins, but now we live continually day by day for him. And we tell people, we try to honor the Lord. That's what we do now because we're Christians. That's what we do. But John chapter 5, we see this other account. Jesus is speaking. It says, there is another that beareth witness of me. See, Jesus, he knew when God wrote this word, he knew that people would be skeptic. He knew that people wouldn't believe this account. He knew that who's this man proclaiming that he's God Almighty? Verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witness of me is true. Okay, how? Ye sent unto John, he's talking about John the Baptist, that he bear witness unto the truth. You see that? Now we're fast forwarding in John, verse 33 of chapter 5. Ye sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. What's the truth? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is my Son. God even confirmed it. He said, this is my Son, God the Father. That means in order to have God the Father, you have God the Son, the Word made flesh. Unto the truth, verse 34, but I received not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Now, there's a little rebuke here, because now what's happening, he's talking to the Jews for historical context, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sadducees are the ones that denied the resurrection. The Pharisees were more fundamental, but they formed this religion. After 400 years of silence from Malachi to Matthew, all of a sudden we have Pharisees and Sadducees, this group of priests, that these group of elect that's not really, it's kind of this miry Judeo religion going on, but it's not the Old Testament or what God wanted. So now he's telling them, he goes, look, you don't have to believe me, but watch. Verse 35, he was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I, Jesus is saying this, I have greater witness than that of John. He's saying, you know what? John baptized me in John chapter 1, and you saw the Spirit. Now imagine, the Spirit's descending. They heard the voice of God, and there's still people that don't believe this. Okay? Imagine that. So that tells me one thing. Faith is faith. We are blessed today. Why? Not because we see Jesus Christ. We can't see Jesus Christ right now. Someday we will. But through his word and the Holy Spirit, you have faith in something you can't see. Isn't that amazing? Verse 36, I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. John 8:18 says, I am one that bear witness of myself. Jesus was performing miracles. It was a sign to show those Jews, look it, I'm your Messiah. I'm the Son of God. Miracles didn't save people's soul. It was the faith in Jesus Christ that saved their soul, okay? Let's keep that in mind. I am the one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. So Jesus Christ says, in John chapter 5 is a great, and we'll get there, he's saying, how do you know, 2,000 years later, how do we know this is all true? Jesus is telling me through his word, he goes, not only am I bearing witness, not only is John the Baptist bared witness of me, but guess what? God the Father, God Almighty, bear witness of me. And not only that, 2,000 years later, you know who else bears witness of Jesus Christ and his plan of salvation? Christians, children of God. Amen. We go out, we hand tracts, we go out and tell people about Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're bearing witness of salvation. You need to get saved. Today is the day of salvation, right? 1 John 5:9-10. Let's turn there. 1 John 5:9, we'll close up. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John is the epistle of John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Let's start in verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. There's three. We read this earlier. The Father, we saw that in the baptism. The Word, that's Jesus Christ, the Word made manifest. And the Holy Ghost, that's his name. That's God the Spirit's name, Holy Ghost. And these three, guess what? They're one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Okay, so we have the Godhead, right? If we receive the witness of men, guess what? The witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God, who is that? That's Jesus Christ, hath the witness in himself. Isn't that amazing? See, you believe on Jesus Christ, you know what? You become a walking testimony. You become the light. You understand? Matthew says we are the salt and light of the earth, right? So now you become that light that you didn't have when you weren't saved. When you got saved, the light just started opening up. And you know what? What happened? Pastor John gave his testimony a little bit a while back. He started coming to a Bible-believing church, and he goes, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. The Holy Spirit started yearning for more and more and more and wanted to know truth, right? That should be, it's the heart, and the heart wants to know more. Lord, who are you? Show me a sign. No, don't show me a sign. You put everything revealed right here, right in this word. Everything is here that we need to see right here. Finishing up verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Praise God. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us. Now, John, 1 John is written to saved people, okay? These are people that are, he's writing to the church. He's writing to save people. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that, here it is, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that, guess what? We can know that we have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, why did he need to do this? It's because the same penman, the Apostle John, wrote the Gospel of John, penned it. But the Holy Spirit's telling him, now you need to write an epistle and show them, what is salvation? Believing on the Son of God. Peter's there. He sees two great, mighty Jewish prophets from the Old Testament in manifested in eternal divine glory. And guess what? He says, no, the guy right next to you, yeah, that's the guy that's going to pay for your sins and die on a cross. He's your creator, by the way, too. Divine witness, bearing witness of the record. And it's beautiful because the Lord is writing this book. He wrote this book to be quick and alive and to stir your hearts and say, wow, that's the God I believe in. That's the God I want to serve. He's a living God. He's not a dumb idol. He's not a dumb idol. A dumb idol, not dumb like stupid, dumb as not speaking. It's inanimate. It doesn't have life. Ye may have eternal life. Who? Through Jesus Christ. He is life. Amen. Let's close in prayer.